over 1,000 feet deep. The Red Sea is narrow, it's only 8 miles wide, but it's over 1,000 feet deep. And there's this ridge that runs right across, all the way across, nice and wide, and just not very shallow. I don't remember exactly the depth, but just wide enough for, you know, crossing. And years ago, a guy went down there. I forgot his name again. And but he found chariot wheels, chariot bodies, all full coral, you know, worked over. And he came back and did the thing. I've had pictures of it and everything on this. Well, it was supposedly debunked. And so this other guy goes out there, again, I don't have his name, but he had a crew out there, they went diving, and they found everything that he said, plus they found all the way across in different areas, skulls, some crushed, some normal, found a vertebrae, they found rib cages, they found all this, all full of coral, all from one spot all the way almost across. So it hadn't been debunked. I just saw this on YouTube just a few days ago.
Microphone is up there, huh?
Okay.
Good.
I just have a short thing I put together. I just want to thank Pastor Ed for trusting me for putting out a little some thoughts. And you must trust me, I'm not going to spew out some nonsense. But you can judge that. The title of what I want to talk about is Holding Our Thoughts Captive. And all through my life, for most of it, I failed to do that. I failed to do it this morning. I failed to do it 10 minutes ago. But to me, it's one of the keys to our Christian life. Turn to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. I was going to bring it with me, but Gail just got a book about holding our thoughts captive, and I read it, and it's a great book. I recommend it highly. If you want to know the title, Gail will tell you. But 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And the key part of that, to me, is to the obedience of Christ. Like I said before, for me, getting into that habit of taking every thought captive has been very difficult. All throughout my life, my thoughts have run wild. Fear, worry, anxiety, jealousy, contempt, they were all there. And they were all thoughts that Satan threw at me, and I did not take them captive. And what happened? Pastor Stanley, if anybody follows Pastor Stanley, talks about Satan's strongholds. And if you do not capture these thoughts, they become Satan's strongholds. He knows how to get you. And a personal, and in my background as a clothing store owner, Satan knew how to get me. Mm-hmm. He'd say, oh, Tom, it's slow today. The end is near. The store's gonna collapse. You don't have enough business. Cash flow is gonna start. You know, it would be a domino effect of pretty soon you're gonna be out of business. I mean, it's ridiculous, stupid, but I bought it. So then he'd keep hitting me with that for years. And if I had taken that damn thought captive 30, 40 years ago, he wouldn't have had the stronghold that he had. So everybody can relate that to their own life. Like I said, this morning, 10 minutes ago, I mean, Satan is always hitting us, the son of a bitch. Can I say that?
No.
He doesn't give up. So we have to be tough. We have to hang in there. You guys tell Satan, wait a minute, you can't get me with that lie anymore, you son of a bitch. Along with the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, I'm going to fight and I'm going to win. It occurred to me the other day that every single thought that we have, it's got to go through a filter. And we've got to decide, is that thought glorifying God or is it glorifying Satan? Every single thought has to be put under that microscope, that filter. If we do that, I'm not going to make you go there, but Galatians 5:22. When we habitually do this, we'll get the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And that's my message. I hope it helps somebody. And let's win, not that son of a bitch, Satan.
He's a jerk.
All right, good morning. Well, I also have a pretty short thing I'd like to share with you. As some of you may know, that fellow Phil Robertson died few weeks ago. If you don't know who he is, he's the patriarch of that Duck Dynasty television show and family. Really interesting dude. Lots of stuff in his background and his history that he went through and basically turned his whole life around when he gave himself to Christ and in turn eventually reached millions and millions of people. And there's all types of different stories of even when he was an unbeliever and running wild, as he would say. People in his life, I forget who it was, but one person said, you know what, that man, if you get him, he's going to lead millions to Christ. And eventually that happened. I have a really hard time, you know, glorifying, quote unquote, glorifying other men. I don't even wear, except for a very few select people, if you had a sports jersey, I won't wear somebody's name on my back. It's just a personal thing. I remember all Pastor Bob's messages about iconoclastic arrogance and stuff like that, but this Phil Robertson fellow was somebody who really stood out to me personally, and you know, him and I wouldn't have much in common. Very different people, very different lives, very different hobbies and things that we enjoy, but yet the things that he stood for and the way he carried himself was not only something that, you know, myself and I would try to aspire to, but it's something that the way he carried himself and lived, something that everyone should probably aspire to. Pastor Ed talks a lot about impact, and somebody like Phil Robertson, just the monumental amount of impact he had on not only his family's life, but other people around him. And again, like I said, he has reached millions through his work in the church and obviously through the television show and years after. They've done a fairly popular podcast. Like I said, he's not someone you might relate to. He's a self-proclaimed river rat, a guy who lives in the woods and whatever. He lived his life very simply, and he passed away a couple weeks ago. And he was one of those guys that said, "When I go, don't cry, don't be sad. You know where I am, and it's a great thing. So be happy and celebrate or whatever." But he didn't want anybody to mourn. Obviously, when somebody like that goes, your emotions take over, and a lot of people are very sad. I remember when Charles Stanley passed away too. It was telling my small group of friends, like, yeah, it's sad, but at the same time, like, kind of happy, kind of exciting, because you know what's coming. You know what he's finished his race. And the same thing for this Phil Robertson. Probably the verse that, I know that this is, they named their podcast after the verse, but Romans 1, excuse me, Romans 1:16 says, For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, here's a guy who, when he was on the show, obviously TV being the way it was, the way it is, they wanted him to compromise. They wanted to cut out the prayer parts, cut out the name of Jesus, and you know, not only him, but the whole family, basically, but especially Phil. They're not refuse to compromise on stuff like that. Absolutely not. This is what we stand for. This is what our family is about. And, you know, at some point, I guess they were going to take him off the show, and that all got turned around. But he's a guy who did not compromise. No matter how famous he got, no matter how wealthy he got, it didn't matter to him. So just a couple of things. I want to read from one other ministry online what they said, a really good summary of Phil Robertson. It says, Phil Robertson passed away tonight, and I'm going to admit he was one of the men of God that I really looked up to because he was a perfect example of what Jesus came to do. He was that wretched, evil man that turned from his ways and put his faith in Jesus and changed the world. Reached millions of people with his simple life. An example of what it means to follow Jesus. He raised a family and became like a tree planted by the water. Saw his kids, his grandkids come to know the Lord. Reached millions with the simple message of Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Uncompromising. Unwilling to bend for the culture. Unwilling to bend for the money. Unwilling to bend for the fame. Became famous and never let it get to his head. Lived a simple life with his wife, and when the world said, you must change with us, he said, I will not. He stood by the word of God, he truly left a legacy. You see, the things of this world will pass away. The money passes away. Phil was a wealthy man, and at the end of the day, none of us will remember him because he was a wealthy man. We remember him because of what he stood for, because he was a man of integrity, because he was a man of the word, he was a man who was uncompromised. A man who represented America, represented freedom, represented independence. He could have died a wealthy man, compromised in those moral areas, and we wouldn't remember him right now. But the nation is sad because he was a man that inspired millions to follow Jesus and pursue freedom. At the end of the day, what you do and what you have means nothing. It's what you stand for. I thought that was a really good summary of someone like Phil Robertson. I have a few of his books. I've read them all, but you know, you can pick out, there's so many great little nuggets. And again, it's just like his life, the way his books are. Very simple, very easy to read. Not always super detailed, but just a very good, wholesome, encouraging read. One section of one of his books, just a little paragraph, says, here's the deal, America. None of us is getting out of here alive, except through Jesus. I use that line all the time. Like, 10 out of 10 people die, so, you know, gotta figure that problem out. He says, no one is getting out of here alive except through Jesus. He is the way, the truth, the life. He is the resurrection. There's no escape without going through him. Hey, all you numbskulls, do you have a better idea for your own life? I love that line, too. I say to my brothers, you got a better story? You got a better explanation? What are you living for? Do you have a better idea for fixing this rotten culture and the sea of depravity we find ourselves swimming in? Repent and live your life for Jesus. Turn your life around. Turn your streets around. Turn your cities around. Turn your states around. Turn this messed up country around. Turn your world around. Look at yourself and look at everyone around us. Are you coming or not? Just remember this. Even if you hate me, I love you anyway. So does God. That was the way that the man lived. He was willing to interact with, talk to, and put himself out there for people who had really nothing in common with him at all. I mean, again, a guy who lived by the river, wanted to be in the woods all the time, you know, hated going out into the cities and just wasn't his scene. But at the same time, he had a heart for reaching everyone. He'd often make jokes about, oh, I gotta go to New York City and talk to all the yuppies up there. But that's just, you know, that's just a different type of person. One of the things that always stood out to me about Phil, and something that I've been thinking so much about, is how unique we all are, how we all have our own race to run, and how, you know, as individuals, we have our own parts to play. And this was a guy who, yeah, it's not that he leaned into it purposely, but he had a very specific life that he liked to live and a lifestyle that he'd like to live. And yet, even through doing that, he still was able to reach millions for Jesus. And again, didn't compromise when he had every opportunity in the world to do that. So, one last little thing that I want to say is a quote from Phil. And if you go on YouTube and then, you know, you see this is like one little blurb that comes up often. It was just from his own mouth. He says, "I keep life simple. I stay in the woods as much as I can, back and forth. We eat well. We love God, and we love our neighbor. For the life of me, I cannot believe more people would not get on board with that." Couldn't agree more. I mean, people need to hear that. It doesn't have to be that you need to be a wealthy man. It doesn't have to be that you need to feel like you need to reach millions for Jesus. You just have to do your part. What has God called you to do as an individual? What is your story? What is your impact that you're going to have? And, you know, Phil's obviously somebody that had a huge impact, but we don't have to, you know, compare ourselves or feel like we need to do that, feel like we're not doing enough, because, you know, I don't know how many of you plan on being rich and famous, but I sure don't. But again, it was one of those things that's very bittersweet. Again, I remember Charles Stanley passed away, Pastor Bob passed away. You know, it was one of those things that, you know, you're sad, but at the same time, you kind of crack a little smile. You know, oh death, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting? One other thing I'll share for me is I've discovered, maybe it's being a middle-aged, over-the-hill, has-been, never-was, single guy, that I've discovered how important freedom is for me personally. And the ability to do what you want, go where you want. And that's one great thing about living in our country, is having those freedoms. But at the end of the day, if you don't solve for this problem of what's going to happen to you when you go, how free are you really? How free are you really? Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? To me, that ultimate freedom is found in Christ. At the end of the day, when we close our eyes in this world, you got to solve for that problem. Anyway, that's all I have for now. If anybody else has anything they want to share or talk about. I'll just close this in prayer, I guess. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a beautiful day that we have together and hear your word and have fellowship with other like-minded believers. We thank you for the freedoms that we have, the nation that we live in. Even though there are so many things that we as Christians would like to see different, we still have so much and we're still so blessed. We thank you for it. We pray that you help us all to have impact in our daily lives and our own unique walks. We pray this all in Jesus' name.
Good job.